Okay, we're live. We talked a little bit about animal experimentation, and at the end of the day, we're pretty loose about that. If there's any real possibility that there be a human benefit to it, we try to do it in the most humane way possible. But at the end of the day, we allow animal experimentation. Today, I wanted to go to the next step, and that is the human trials, which come next. It's interesting to know, just a little bit of history, that we mentioned the last time that it's been at least 150 years since people have been concerned about animal experimentation. The English equivalent of the ASPCA started in the 1860s. Concern about human experimentation didn't start till much, much later. Right, 1940s, 1950s, the first time anyone ever thought there might be an issue here. As we all know all too well, what really shook up people to realize that there has to be some moral code, some ethics when it comes to experimentation, was the Holocaust. And of course, part of the Nuremberg trial, which focused on the medical experimentation, doesn't even sound right to use the words, right, was a set of ethics that came out of it, and there are other ones as well. Around 20 years later, there was another convention, a Helsinki convention, I think 1964, something like that, O Pachot O Yoter. But the NIH actually still uses the Nuremberg Code, I found out. There are a bunch of rules. I just brought out what I thought were some of the highlights. Obviously, they thought they were important. First and foremost, the voluntary consent of a human subject is absolutely essential. But up until this, no one had ever considered the possibility of getting consent before doing anything. Two, the experiment should be such as to yield fruitful results for the good of society, unprocurable by other methods or means of study, and not random and unnecessary in nature. Obviously, you have to be hoping to get something out of it. If there is a way of doing this without human experimentation, obviously that would be preferable. And there has to be a real need, not just you need a paper in order to get tenure, but really there has to be some greater need for society. Four, the experiment should be conducted as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. We should minimize the cost to the subjects. Six, the degree of risk to be taken should never exceed that determined by the humanitarian importance of the problem to be solved by the experiment. It could be that we have an issue that we're taking care of, but the pain that it causes is much greater. Again, it's not easy to... Yes, yes. That's why we put three dots at the end. Three dots at the end means...
We also put three dots at the end of one.
Right, that is true. But one... it's a... right, one. That indicates that one is just much longer. One we also skipped as well. Nine, which comes after seven and eight, which are out there for those who are interested in reading it, but didn't quite make the list. During the course of the experiment, the human subject should be at liberty to bring the experiment to an end if he has reached the physical or mental state where continuation of the experiment seems to him to be impossible. Right? The subject should have the right to pull the plug on it. And of course, 10, during the course of the experiment, the scientist in charge must be prepared to terminate the experiment at any stage. If he has probable cause to believe in the exercise of good faith, superior skill and careful judgment required him that the continuation of the experiment is likely to result in injury, disability, or death to the experimental subject. So obviously, this puts a major emphasis on the human subject. Now, the issue of human experimentation is obviously very different than animal experimentation because... it really goes both ways. You have the sometimes, or perhaps most of the time, the human being that's being subjected to the experiment is also perhaps benefiting from the experiment. Particularly if we're dealing with new medications, you have a new cancer medication that you'd like to try out. So who are you going to try it on? You're going to try it on the people who are not responding to the standard medications. So the hope is not only will we learn whether or not this medication works, and we'll also learn what side effects it may cause, etc., which is important for society. But as related to the subject, him or herself, they will potentially be cured. And this stage in their treatment, this might be the best chance they have. So unlike animal experimentation, where there's no possibility that the bunny rabbits or the lab rats needed whatever we're doing to them, this of course becomes important. Now, of course, it's not all good news. Any new medication brings on risks. And somebody who had a cancer that would survive 6 months or a year or 3 years, let's say, and then without treatment likely pass away, might die much sooner as a result of the medication. So we really have to look at things on different aspects. We have to look at whether the doctor in charge has a right to do this experiment. And also, really, the flip side of the same coin is whether the subject has a right to participate. So the first case, which we would think is the easiest case, is the person who is going to die and there is no other hope for them. So what's the downside? Right? You can do nothing or die and do something or die. So you said the downside is what's called chaye shah. The downside is that the guy might die sooner because of that. Again, this is probably more common in surgeries. Right? A person, if they don't have surgery, will die in a certain amount of time. But if they undergo a risky surgery, it could prolong their life significantly, but it also could shorten it very much. I made a small note to Rodney Dangerfield right beforehand. So he had gone in one time, he was going in for a surgery, and they said to him, you know, how long is it going to be? He said, if things go well, I should be back in 2 weeks. He said, if things don't go, I should be out in around 2 hours. He was out in around 2 hours. That actually was his last line, actually. So that is what you have to, that's the first case. The first case is somebody who really, in the big picture, it's only upside, right? Whatever side effects could potentially happen, the only downside is if we let nature take its course, the person will have a certain amount of years left. If we try to intervene, it could cut down on those years. This question is raised by the Gilyon Marsha, number one of the sources. Mikan de'anti, al-masha nishalti b'cholosha rofe omo litin lo lahaki. He's giving something to, sounds like vomit. Omer. She'im lo yo'ilo hasamim yomus miad. If it doesn't work, you're going to die right away. V'im yo'ilo yisrape. And in the event that does work, though, you'll get better and you'll live happily ever after.
Like ipecac for a poison, yeah.
Right.
You give an emetic that forces the person to vomit.
Right, but if you don't give him that,
but then he's got a poison in him.
Right.
Took a poison, you give him the...
Right, so in that case, is there any downside to the medication?
No, the vomiting. I mean, that's
right,
what
okay.
He's talking about too, right?
No, because it sounds right. He seems to say, though,
they ingested something that needs to be vomited.
Right.
It sounds like the only downside here is he's going to vomit a lot, but if he gets it out, he'll survive.
Right, but it sounds that he would have survived a longer period of time had he not done this, which I think is not the case in your example.
No,
it's not. He'll die over time. So that's the question that's out there. Right, which is basically our question. You could potentially be cured. Right. If you don't do anything, you will die over time. If you do something and it doesn't work, you will die quicker. So he points to a tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov is pretty much on point. Shvus Yaakov lived in the 1600s. First name you could guess. Last night I'm not coming up with. I think he passed away in 1647. For some reason, that sticks in my head. They have someone who's deathly ill. The cholarofim omdim, right, with an aleph, shavada yom is toch yom o yomayim. He's got a day or two to live. Ach, sheomdim, sheyesh od refuah acha, sheesha sheyisrapi mecholav. There's one last chance, one long shot medication. It could cure him. You could do the exact opposite. It could kill him. An hour or two, that's what he's going to have, as opposed to a day or two. Can you do it or no? Let him live out his last days as God wants him to, and that should be it.
And difficult to imagine in the 1600s what they were referring to.
Who do they have?
What they had in
blood wedding.
Yeah. We're going to believe who they
are.
That's right.
We're going in a couple hours.
We're going to put leeches over there. Okay, I cannot answer that question. Tshuva. Im efshar shal yidei refuah zeh shenosin. But the bottom line is that was he got the question. Shal yidei refuah zeh shenosin lo yisrapa legami mechov vadei luchashin lechayisho. If there's a possibility he could really be saved, he says that you could do it. Im kein gam kein benidon zeh kevin shevada yomus manichin havada v'tosin asafik. Right? Forget about the vada you're going to die and go for the suffix. Maybe I'll live. Ura Yisrapim. We call Malkum and Lassus Rufu Kapshuto, okay? Don't just go run and do it. Raksach Rios Masuch Ma'od B'Dover. You really got to look into it. Lepakechim Rofim Mumchun Shavia Apiro of Deus. You have to go around and talk to all the doctors, see what the majority says. Tandruv the Minka, Shu Kefel. You have at least 2/3 majority agreeing to do this. Lefishish Rachush Kaveyadas. Not all doctors are made equally. So you have to get them all, then also go to the people who know what's going on. It's interesting. How long do you think this will take? This guy's got a day or two to live. I think this might answer the question itself.
Mm-hmm. Right there, well, it sounds like the question is going to be answered for future purposes as well.
Well, no, because they're asking in this particular case, does it make sense to do this or not?
But if the answer yes, it makes sense, but the answer comes after he's dead, will be able to apply this answer to the next case?
No, because I assume the next case will be a little different, right? I don't, right? Just because this works, this patient finds himself in this situation, I imagine the next patient, you can't just...
the same disease.
Okay.
His cousin, we'll spend a lot of time with him.
That's right, taking care of him.
Are you saying that there was an obligation to go to the experts?
Yes.
Okay, so when you say the experts, do you mean like the experts of the shtetl or the experts of the... Like how far you have to go?
So I imagine in this case would be the shtetl, because how many options did they have? You're going to send a guy by train for 3 weeks, and then they'll come back 3 weeks later, 6 weeks later, you know, he'll miss the whole shloshim. Right, you know.
There might not be a doctor every other week.
That's why the shtetl never made it. But that's what it's talking about. So this is really the earlier sources. The truth of the matter, the later sources, the more recent cases, which are more practical, really go point out that there's a source that goes back to the Gemara, and the Gemara itself goes back even further, right? It goes back to Malachim Beis. There's a story, Malachim Beis. This is actually a Haftarah that we read. We read it this year. We don't read it every year. About the Arba Mitzorayim, the four lepers. That there was a fellow named Gehazi. It's a great story. You should read it. And he and his three sons are lepers, and they find themselves outside the city at the time of siege. And there's a problem because it's a time of siege, there's no food to be had. And they're dying of starvation, so they decide, what should we do? We can sit here and die of starvation, or we can give ourselves over to the enemies. If we give ourselves to the enemies, what's going to happen? They could kill us, that's one possibility. But try to be more positive, Jenny. What else could happen?
You could give them leprosy.
Ha ha! Then we'll see who's laughing. What? They'll take them in. They'll take them in. They'll make them slaves. They'll fatten them up and they'll use them for something. Right? So the question. So Gehazi says to his son. He's not actually mentioned by name in the Navi itself, interestingly, but he says, "What are we sitting around here for? Right? If we sit around there, we're for sure going to die. If we go there, well." Either Jenny's right that they're going to be killed.
I didn't think they're going to be killed.
What did you say?
She said that they would take hostage. I think they'd be taken hostage.
Okay, so either Jenny's right that they'll be taken hostage, or Barbara is right that they will be killed. Okay, now Shomo, you'll edit the tape before you put it online. Okay, right. So those are the two possibilities. Those are the Yesh Garson.
Or they don't take them in.
So right, they'll just say, ha, stay out there and die.
Right.
Right, but that wasn't considered as a possibility. So the Gemara quotes that story and says, you know what, that's important. So he said, are we that concerned about dying a little bit earlier? So it says, minot teima l'chayisho aro chayishinon. How do I know that's true? That I'm not concerned to exiv. Imar marnu navo ha'ir v'harabi ir v'maslu sham. Right? If we go and we sit around and stay in the city, we're just going to die there. But ike chayesha. Yeah, but if I sat in the city, I wouldn't die of starvation today. Over time, I die of starvation. Right? If I show up at their door, and Barbara's right, I'm going to die today. So the fact that this is seen as the right decision, it did work out for them in the end. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it was the right call. So you see from there that one has a right to risk losing their lives when death is inevitable in order for the potential of getting out of the situation and living much longer. Right? So the Gemara learns from that story in the Navi that, in fact, you're allowed to risk your chaye sha'a in order to have potential for a much longer life. But Moshe Feinstein dealt with this in a more recent tshuva. There are other ones as well. B'davar echad shehu chol bin akavim b'livo. A person have holes in his heart. Ba'ofen gezehu mesukan lefi umdina d'arofim mumchum yomos bevade b'zman kotzer. It's not a good thing. You're going to die soon, they tell him. B'rotzim lasos nituaf listam es nekavim b'pastik. They want to go and they want to put plastic on the holes and make it all better. Live another 5-10 years like this. You must take it. Of course, there's another possibility that you'll die during surgery. What? I believe this was written in 74. I didn't leave the date on it, but I think so. I think it was the 70s, tshuva. So he says, he turns to our this story in Malachim. Why don't we go over to the enemies and see what happens? Could be, what are the odds? What are the odds that Barbara's right, what are the odds that Jenny's right? 50-50. So okay, so there's 50% chance that they were killing themselves. That's what it comes down to. The Tov Lahem Likacho Sam Yosef Aravadim. They would rather be taken as slaves. Ba Koch Nitzar Chom the Kedik Safti Sheaf Be Repoid Eitzah Harofim Akim Shelf Shemut of Ein Choshen Lachayisha Who Mishum De Nechshav Lein Zer Rak Kesafek Shakol Begam HaOvde De Gillian Marshav Ovde De Hashvus Yaakov Mashud Hayisham Safek Shakol. Those all sounded like 50-50s. Velo Rov Lamisa. What if it was 70% he's going to die on the table, 30% he'll get 10 years? What would you say then?
Well, can't the patient decide?
Well, the patient's asking the rabbi. The rabbi might say, well, can't you decide yourself? Why are you bothering me? Why are you bothering me? I just checked with Jordy and doesn't say anything about this in my contract. You have to direct the Kai Gavda Matirin.
That's
what?
That's a high risk.
Yeah?
70.
But what, yes?
Well, given what I'm in my past, when we were given a 24% chance of survival, we went, sure, that sounds great, that's better than zero.
Mm-hmm.
And
24. And let's say, let's,
today.
According to most opinions. So, right.
You can ask. 9 out of 10.
Well, let's say it was 95-5 against you. Well, again, I'll die in 2 months from now, or I'll die on the table tomorrow.
So
we're all going to die eventually, you know.
Like 1 month and a couple of days and see how things are going.
How your percentage of dying on the table.
Right. You know, it's like the guy who jumps off the Empire State Building, and on the 30th floor, someone says, how's it going? He says, so far, so good. So a T-shirt. It says, "I plan on living forever. So far, so good." Right. But according to your logic, which is a darn good logic, I'll tell you, 95-5 should be fine. Also, it's better than zero. So Moshe said, "Alva kimsha shekvot haraso." No, that's not it. I don't know. Hevi me'achiezer. It should be kvod taras. That's what it usually is. The yukod the achiyazer who het the afkshan ituach mesukin rekov yosef shiyamus. The achiyazer of Chaim Moser Grudzinski, he would allow you to do it even if the it's over 50% that you're going to die. The locus of mishnas chachamim derak besavek shakol motor. So there are opinions that say not that way. So we'll skip to the bottom line. There he goes through the whole thing. He says aval kaponim ledina. Bottom line. Came to Achiezer Matir Af Karav Yoser Lamisa Miyachol Limchos B'Misha Rotzal Lismachol V'Lasos Nituach. He said once that Rav Chaim Moser says that you can take even if the odds are greater that you're going to die, still you have a right to do it. So he says I'm not going to argue on that. If you want to take that, you have a right to do it. Right. So in this case, it would seem pretty clear that Rav Moshe Paskins and we follow this. This is the overwhelming opinion. If somebody is given a short amount of time to live, and they have a potential to expand it, right, through surgery, even if the surgery could very well, maybe even better, more likely than not, shorten the amount of time you have left, you're allowed to undergo a surgery, and likewise an experimental procedure that would potentially expand your life, potentially shorten it. Interesting question. So someone's going to die eventually, and you want to expand it. So we're all going to die eventually. So where is the line between what's called chayei shah and chayei olam? Right. Let's say a person they turn around and they say, listen, we can do a temporary fix to your heart, and you know we'll this surgery, it's pretty safe. It'll get you 10 years, but in 10 years you're gonna have the tsar again. We can do a much riskier procedure, and then you'll be as good as new. So do you have a right to do that? Is 10 years chayei shah?
What's the exact translation of life what?
Shah is a year, momentary. Oh. Was really.
What's the other one?
Chayei olam.
Forever?
As long as you have.
Right, as long as you got. And no one's really going to live forever. But that's the words that are used in the Gemara. Right. The short amount of time, a person's given X amount of time to live, that's chayei shah. Right? Chayola means the person's healthy, they'll live whatever years they were given.
What about the concept that the human body does not belong to us? It's really the property of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So are we allowed to do something to change the course of
Rapari or Rapari? Nitna or Shoshwarope or Rapos.
We don't have to just sit there and wait for nature to take its course. We're permitted to intervene.
We can do more than just say Tilden. That's what it says.
That would override the
right. Now, again, sometimes the point that Yossi makes is a very good point. Let's say, you know, I go and I have an infection. And I say, I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't care. So maybe I'll die. I'm willing to live with that. So then you can say, hey, it's not your body. It's not your body to decide that we're just going to let it go to pot. And that's where it comes into play. Right? So again, that could come into play here as well. To stand on the blood of your brother?
Yeah.
That's, I think we say, lo, samur al dam reyecha. I think that's what we say.
Is there like a chiyuv in a case like this, to say, you have to do the surgery?
So potentially, yes.
Go do it.
Right. I was just like, makin osa ashwa rotsa any type of thing. Yes?
Ha!
That'll show him. Right. No, so again, you can't force him in this case. Not in this case. Right?
In the case where there's a proven treatment, he just refuses to do it.
Right. You know, the guy's, you take penicillin, you'll be as good as new. And the guy's refusing to do it.
Right, so that's not my fault. I'm saying
no, this is your fault. Don't feel guilty about this. It's okay. Right?
What's this question about? What's the question about? I can have a surgery that's going to give me 10 years for sure, and then at the end of that 10 years, I have to have another surgery? Which is
right,
the,
I think,
what's
I think,
the question there?
Right, so I think that's pretty standard. I could have a relatively uninvasive procedure, mm-hmm. which will give me 10 years,
yeah.
but I can have a very invasive procedure that will give me, I'll never have to look at it again.
Right now, correct. Okay,
so the number of people put it, the Chochma Shlomo says 12 months. If you're going to last more than 12 months, then don't deal with it now. This idea of I can give up whatever I have for the possibility of something much more. So again, if you have more than a year to survive, you should not do a very risky surgery. That's a situation you can live with. Now let's go for what seemed to be the easy case on the other side. Let's say, let's go with a little bit of a harder case here.
I understand what you said. Let's say you lasted 11 months, at the end of 11 months, and you have only 1 month to live.
Yeah, at that point, go for it. I'm saying, as time goes on and they haven't come up with a better cure, now it might make sense to take the risk. Let's say a person is not at risk of dying, but they're in pain. Do they have a right to undergo an experimental treatment to get rid of the pain?
Yes.
Even though it could potentially cost their life?
So it doesn't have to be experimental.
No, so then we're talking about...
It's not infrequent that controlling the pain accelerates death.
So morphine.
Yeah.
Right. But, let's talk about something that's experimental, right? I have tinnitus, right? Makes me crazy, right? So they come up with some experimental, radiation to the brain that'll take care of it, right? It could be dangerous. Could also get rid of it. I say, no, I hate this so much, I'm willing to risk my life. Do I have a right to do that?
It's quality of life. Living your life miserable, isn't that worse than dying?
But again, it's not your life.
Right, but let's say my nose really bothers me. I've always wanted a much smaller one. So would I be able to, but I am allergic to anesthesia. So
I'm willing to risk it.
Right, I'm willing to risk it. Because this schnoz, my quality of life would be so improved.
I thought we were talking about pain.
I just shifted. we were just going Socratic a little bit there. What would you say then?
Local anesthesia is what I say.
You're allergic to local anesthesia.
Right.
The bottom line is that you may not be able, if it's not something fatal, right?
Yeah.
Pain.
Right.
Your serum are good for you.
Makes you a better person.
On your chest.
That's important. That was my problem. I never wanted it in my chest. Electrolysis. So, with Yaakov Emden.
So far fetched. You could use a painkiller that will mess up your kidneys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be experimental.
Right. That's what he said. Morphine.
Medication. We tell him. By the way, this will help your pain, but
it'll also shorten it.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Can be much more serious problems.
So Rav Yaakov Emden has a very interesting piece, one you've never expected. So Yeshe Bochim Besafik Neshvashos Kira Hatzir Atzum Yisurim Koshin. There are people out there who are willing to risk their lives just to get themselves out of terrible suffering. Koshin Shemosim Asim Lechituach Bnei Evin Shebekis. Like these people undergoing surgery just to get out of gallstone. It would be good. Just a little kidney stones. So it's bothering you. They need to have surgery over it.
That's
more than just pain.
Yeah, that's
functional
issues.
Right, he lived in late 1700s.
There was no general anesthesia. So when you were talking about a nituach in those days for a gallstone, it was a big deal.
Right.
Plus, I don't know if they had sterile techniques. Everybody got infected. Right. Many people
bullet to bite on.
That's what the anesthesia was. Right. I mean, that was a big deal.
Right, so he actually speaks against it.
Which source are you reading from?
5. So he says, "Akoyv some ma'od b'tzar kosher kamavis rachmano litzlan." In my father of Hashem, there's only one time in his life I ever saw him in pain, and that he had a kidney stone, and that was pain. Yeah, I get the willies thinking about it. They let you do it because sometimes it works. Right, So it's not right what they're doing. There's risk. Even though many people survived, others didn't. Some people didn't die on the table, but they died sooner than they should have. So he seems to be saying that if it's a matter of life and death, then you can put your life on the line. But if it's just a matter of pain, and this is serious pain we're talking about, he thought not. What? I hope he didn't.
He saw his father had a kidney stone, right?
No. I'm talking about my father.
Oh.
Not Rabbi Yaakov Rebbe's father. Rabbi Yaakov Rebbe's father was? Chacham Tzvi, correct. Some people point to Rabbi Akiva Eger, which was a very interesting case, which indicates not the way. So we know there's a concept of goses, right? Goses is somebody who has, right, he's got a limited amount of time to leave. Live. What do we do with the goses? Nothing. You don't touch them. Any touching of them might be makar of the misa. What if the goses is lying in his bed, dying, and suddenly the house goes on fire? Do you move the goses? You hope so. Why? But by moving him, might kill him.
But you might not kill him.
He was going to definitely die before this fire started.
No, but he's going to definitely die by the fire if you don't move him.
Right,
but I wouldn't have killed him.
Well, it depends if he's going to look like barbecue.
I don't want to let him die by fire.
Well, don't. It's the same story all over. Why is moving him going to cause him to die?
Because again, when a person's at that stage, any touching could kill the person. We assume. Could
speed up. Same with the plane heading towards the building, and you've got your gun tip down the plane. Isn't this the same thing?
What?
You know, there's a plane is heading towards the building. You can shoot down the plane and save the people in
That's
the building.
Completely different.
No, because you're killing.
Because
you're
killing the people in the plane compared to the building.
It's like a rodent.
Right.
It's
like a right.
It's the same thing.
No, it's a little. You should eat dinner with us sometimes. It's amazing.
Never a dull moment.
Oh boy, we should sell tickets. That's right.
Dinner at the Rams.
That's right. Shul dinner in Washington Heights. So Rabbi Akiva Eger writes. He quotes from the Sefer Chasidim. He says, "Mikol Mokum Yesh Deleika Moti Nosol Mehabayis." Much to everyone's happiness, if the house is on fire, you move the person out. So the question is why, though? Yes, it feels right. It feels right, you know, the person's going to die one way or the other. You know, on the other hand, if you just look at it logically, this guy dies in a fire, that's very sad, but I didn't kill him.
You might negligence.
I don't think if you touch the goses and he dies because you touched him, you still didn't kill him.
Well,
I think if somebody gives you, you don't get the death penalty.
But isn't it a question of a guy jumps, let's say a Jenny question. Someone jumps out of the window, right? Time to empire, as they pass the fifth floor, I shoot them.
What was the point of that?
Target practice. Right?
You have to be ready for it.
That's right.
And a good shot.
Right? So am I a murderer?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He was really about to die very soon. Trust me. Right, so why is that different than the ghost?
But you're shooting him didn't potentially delay his death. The taking him out of the fire potentially delayed his death.
Right.
Shooting him hastened his death.
Right, but again, but if I...
But touching him is moving him.
Maybe. You know the fire.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. It's not real. You're not really responsible for his death.
Nope.
You touch a goses. You may be morally guilty of accelerating his death, but I don't think that you are.
If you hit him with a hammer, for sure you're the makir patush.
Whereas the guy falling out of the building,
and
he's
going to
be dead soon, you're liable for murder.
So the Nishmas Avram writes, "Kenir shemichemin shekol kavasa hu ratzola." Listen. Why is Rabbi Akiva Eger out? He's just trying to help the guy. He's not trying to kill him. He's trying to do right. What do you think it'll do to the guy to be lying there and realizing that they're leaving him in a burning building.
Definitely
psychologically,
being touched and moved.
Right, psychologically, you know, that will cause him great pain. Even in fact, you might be eating it up. If you put together the fact that the guy would have tremendous pain, right, and I'm trying to be helpful, even though there is potential that I'm going to hurt him, it's okay. Now let's go back to the other case. The case we had where the person is suffering pain. Right? Let's say he's got a gallstone, and we're doing surgery because we want to help the guy, even though ultimately it might end up doing the opposite. So that's the same idea. So he thinks that this Rabbi Akiva Eger, according to Sefer Chassidim, is against Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And therefore, I think the majority opinion is that, in fact, even in the case of tremendous pain, even if it won't live to death, a person has a right to undergo, whether it's a surgery or an experimental procedure, that could potentially have dire consequences if it could potentially also work things out positively, could cure whatever the situation is. So that's the story with that. Now I want to turn over, now let's shift to the idea of being part of a experimental procedure that could potentially help someone else. Right? You're part of the experiment. So the easy case...
Well, you don't have anything wrong with you, but
I'm fine, thank you. Right? I'm fine, I'm a college student, they told me they'd pay me $20 if I did this. Right, this is how this usually happens, right?
Or prisoners. Yeah, prisoners.
Right. same difference.
Well, they get some time off of the VA or something.
Right.
But prisoners can't consent. You can't use prisoners.
Right.
Not anymore, but they used to do it all the time.
Okay.
Prisoners have more rights than the people they kill to get in prison.
Mm-hmm. They'd be healthy volunteers. They're never healthy.
What? Right. Mm-hmm. So, back to college students, who still thankfully... So they say to me, you know, you're the right match. You're what we're looking for, etc. We want you to take part in the study, right? Because how you react to this could potentially open up our eyes. I'm reminded of what David Polliner did. I think was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when he went to La Paz. People know about this, right? Dave Polliner went to La Paz, and he went up to 17. He had a lab at 17,000 feet, I think it was. And he went there with the Oregon track team and some other doctors as well, I imagine. And what they were trying to do is they're trying to determine the effects of altitude on human beings. Now, so why? What was the hope that people will be able to go to the mountain sooner when they come to Denver? So the answer is no. They have found over time that one of the ways the body adjusts to high altitudes is the capillaries expand to allow more blood to flow. You're not getting as much oxygen, but if we give you more blood with less oxygen, you end up with the same amount of oxygen. And the hope is people that suffer from angina, they've realized that this is something that there's an enzyme that tricks this. If they can find out where that is and trick the enzyme on its own without going up to 17,000 feet and staying there for a while, you could potentially find a cure for people with heart issues, right? Theoretically, sounds good to me. I was an economics major, so that's what my opinion's worth. But that was the idea behind it. We can ask Dr. Polliner when he comes back how it's going. The members of the Oregon track team have, as far as I know, had no cardiac issues whatsoever, at least before they showed up there. The question is, and because they were top athletes, they would be able to exercise more. You can work with them better than a typical human being. The question is, if they are approached, and they said, "Can you please partake in this study? You have fine cardiac function, but our hope is through studying you, we'll be able to help people that don't have cardiac function." And for whatever reason, it has to be you. It had to be you, right? If that was the case, you know, do they have a religious obligation to be take part in this study?
Well, they lose out.
What?
Well, they lose out. Once these people are gone, they come back and they realize that now they have heart disease.
So again, it's unlikely you're going to get heart. Again, getting heart disease from going up to La Paz and running is, I see, the equivalent of getting heart disease for going to Daven Mincha with Rabbi Goldberg at Summit Lake. right? In fact, it might be less. When you consider everything. So, but again, I can't guarantee. What?
Doing this, participating in the study is not going to happen.
Right, this is the thing. Right, they might get hit by a truck on the way up there, you know, attacked by a rabid mountain goat. But
there weren't any risks to them, you're saying?
Right, again, I don't see a risk. Right, I think this is a good example. Okay. Right, yeah, it has potentially a very strong payoff.
But are you obligated?
Are you obligated? Right, that's the question. Are you allowed? Why wouldn't you be allowed? Right,
allowed.
It's a no-brainer that you're allowed.
Right.
Why wouldn't you? Like, are you allowed to cross the street? Of course you are. Why not?
Why would you be obligated?
Why would I be obligated? Osam
l'dam
re'echa.
You mean, is this going to be benefiting re'echa?
I think so.
That's the hope.
Potentially. Again, you could never get... If I knew it was going to work in the end, it wouldn't be an experiment.
But I thought we said a while back that you can't even obligate someone to be a marrow.
So, again, we spoke about blood donor. And there was a Tzitz Eliezer who said, Dam hua nefesh, you can't obligate. But we were of the opinion that that was a minority opinion. So interestingly, here we are, the Tzitz Eliezer again, discussing this one. So based on the previous one, you can guess which way he's going to go. But in fact, this is important because he's responding to something here. If you look at number 8, he's saying a letter to Rabbi Abraham S. Abraham. And he said, I read your article that you wrote recently, and I really enjoyed it. Again, this is Teves, Tuf Shin Lamed Vav, 1976. He says, I enjoyed what you wrote. However, turn the page. Ula l'maskanoso lomar. De'im ein shum efsharut sevira l'nezek bebriyas adam. If there's no real possibility that there's going to be damage to the person themselves, Chayev hu mitzaradin de gemiras chasodim lasos hakov alasik says gufo la'arachbo nisyonos im yachol letzeis mizetuos rufu es ra'acherim. Just like I'm chayev to give tzedakah, just like I'm chayev to unload your donkey, if I could potentially help you, not by giving you money and not by helping, but by undergoing this study, I am obligated. Right? Why is this different than any other type of chesed? Even though I'm not going to gain anything, my heart function is great. I'm an athlete, you know. Still, with that, he says, still, that when I give you stuck, I'm not getting anything from it. When I help you at all, I'm not getting anything from it. So he says, I don't agree with you. So for the following reasons, I disagree. I don't think there's an obligation. So it says, Aleph, Dalet, Vav. But at the end of Aleph, there's three dots, you see. And then the Dalet, there's a question mark followed by two dots, which indicates that the Tzitz Eliezer was well aware of the Aleph base, and in fact, he used all the letters in between. I just minimized it for this year. Masha batzish v'chav v'gmir chasadim b'gufa v'mono, ha'gvana shol gufa hu l'shtad al b'gufa. It says that a person has to do chesed with their body and with their money. With their body doesn't mean that I have to give from my body. So it doesn't mean hakavasho begufa l'shtadel begufa. I should do things. I should go. I should help you. I should help you unload your groceries if you need some help, etc. You need a ride someplace. I should give. That's begufa. Rambam pirsh mishnayis perak dalad in the darim masbe shazehu gam inyun chiyav harovi l'rabbis chol yisrael. Doctors, also, this is begufa. I am helping you get better. You couldn't do it without me. It's like Hashavas Aveda. I gave you back your keys that you lost. I gave back your health that you lost. I can use my body. I can use my money. I can use my knowledge. But to give from my body, to do something to my body for you, that we never heard of. That's one. Another thing says, "Va'odzos harei ha'nisyonim ba'atzim shi'ibatzu begufa u'yavil shalatzim shum ha'atzol refuah lechaver ha'chole." So what I'm doing now, there's no person you can point to say that I'm helping them. That's true, right? In fact, you know, the case that we were discussing, It's.
I didn't know it's even Larry Atwell.
Well, again, the hope is that through studying, perhaps they'll find out that which part of the genome actually does this. And once they find it, then there's something they have to figure out how to trick the genome. Then somehow or another, they're going to have to get it into medication form. And then they have to get FDA approval on it. Right? So, what are the odds that this is actually ever going to help anybody? 10%, I'd say. But you know what? If I'm running a pharmaceutical company, and I can make a pill that makes the people with angina that makes their capillaries open up, 10% is looking good to me. But you know, and also in terms of society, if I was funding this through the NSF or the NIH, they say there's a 10% chance that we can significantly fix heart disease. I would give them the grant. But in terms of that, the odds are wrong. So skipping to Vav, Al Kain Dati LaHalacha Hi, Dehidi Ima Rofim Kovim She'en Kol Sakonim B'Yisuyim Keilu K'shim Atziyim. They say there's no risk whatsoever. Zero. She'az Mutaro LaAdam Limsor As Asu LaArichas Nisanim She'keilu B'Gufo L'Tovas HaChalacha. You're allowed to do it. There's no risk. V'chein Litro Midomo. You can give blood for Kadomo. V'gam Mikai Mitzvah V'kach. And not only can you, it's a mitzvah to participate in it. To say that the person has a religious obligation and we can force them to do it, that not.
But also, they're saying right now, the example that you gave with David stuff, you're saying right now that they can go up and they'll be fine and they'll come down and their hearts are going to be good. Then in 10 years, let's say, these people participated, they weren't so excited, they did it. In 10 years, they realize that, oh my gosh, going up there really did some damage to my heart. How could you possibly obligate somebody?
Right. Again, he mentions that as well. He said, you know, here was 10 years ago, I had oxygen deprivation when I was running around on La Paz. You know, that's kind of hard. Doctors, would anyone buy that? If I call you as an expert witness because I've gotten brain damage because of David Polliner, would you testify on my behalf? Unlikely, I would say. You know, nothing's ever sure, but this is about as close as it gets, I would think. You know, it's interesting. Just talk to David about how the people who did who could run a 4-minute mile, how they did in La Paz.
What happened to your answer? I said, how could you possibly be obligated? You said, because you're helping.
Right. That was Aleph. Aleph was because Gemilas Chasadim does not include giving from your body. It's because you're using your body, from using your brains, from giving your money, but that's it. I don't know, you know, I don't...
Your body by going up there and doing that. You're not giving anything from your body.
Right.
You're not giving blood, you're not doing anything. You're up there running around, I guess.
Well, yeah, I assume that they probably had to poke and prod to see what was happening within the body as they ran around.
I guess they took blood and things like that.
Again, I don't know.
I'm sure they signed releases, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So right away, you know that's...
It's important that we had at least one attorney in the crowd to point out the obvious. Yes.
And then it was the Eliezer who said no.
Right, Rabbi Waldenberg. It's Eliezer. Right. He's one who disagreed. So.
But, you know, there is an intrinsic question when you do an experimental therapy that maybe you assume is not going to cause any problems. But that's part of the experiment to see whether it is or is not going to make you.
Right. So that's. Well, I think, again, I'd say in the overwhelming majority of the cases, you are right. I think in this case, though, I wouldn't think so. You could disagree, because you're not injecting any foreign body into them.
This case in particular, but I'm talking in general.
Right. It's you say it's rare to say that there's no risk whatsoever. Right.
When you say you're from consent, they tell you
it's a possibility. You know, again, I assume that there's probably no shortage of weight loss studies out there. So they're paying you to eat 6 grapefruits a day. And with the hope of that's going to do something to, you know, make you sick of food and you'll stop eating, or some brilliant plan like that. So, been there, done that. What? You know, so yeah, it's another case, you know, what are you going to do? Your vitamin C is going to spike out of control. If you're taking Lipitor, you got a problem. Okay, it's going to get it too excited to eat all those grapefruits. But, you know, I assume there are some studies out there that really don't carry any risks. You know, again, you're likely in the majority, maybe in the overwhelming majority you're likely, but there are cases out there where you can say there's really no risk here.
The one thing you didn't mention, but currently in human experimentation, it's already undergone the animal experimentation. They've as ruled out as much as they can that it's going to cause any harm to anybody.
Right, but just because it doesn't bother the lab rats. I mean, I was thinking about, what was his name, Totricepid? Huh? Pfizer had 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they were trying out this new cholesterol drug. Lipitor does a great job, everyone takes it, but all it does is it lowers your LDL, but it doesn't raise your HDL. So they came with this other thing, Totricepid, that in fact was going to not only lower the LDL, but it was also going to raise the HDL. And this would be very important because maybe it would save some lives. More importantly, Lipitor was going off of patent. Right. I think that happened to be the same time. Right. At 12, whatever it was
confirmed.
Thank you. So if you looked up this Totricepid or something, it had made it up, and then it just started killing off people. You know, and again, we know, what was the name of it? I forget, Vioxx,
mm-hmm.
Right? That made it through a lot of tests and still. So, you know, yes, we're all trying to minimize the risk, but to look someone straight in the eye and say there's no risk to this pill, it's hard. Obviously, the last step that we have to look at is what if there is a risk? Then what do we do? Right? So let's say that I want to participate in a study or an experimental medication of some sort, and there is a risk to me. Do I have a right to do it? And the flip side of this is, if I don't have a right to do it, you don't have a right to run this experiment. So, Lord Emanuel Jacobowitz, of blessed memory, wrote as follows: possibly hazardous experiments may be performed on humans only if they are potentially helpful to the subject himself, however remote the chances of success are. Meaning that the answer to my question of can I participate in a study that has any risk to it is no. Because unless I stand to gain from it, unless it's a situation of this is treating it to a condition I have, if there's any risk, it's not allowed. Rabbi Bleich wrote a response to that, and he pointed out that really there is perhaps a Yerushalmi that's all the way on the other side of the spectrum. The Kesef Mishnah calls Kol HaYochel LaHatziv Lo Hitzil. So this is the Rambam Hilchos Ritzeach talking about if I could save someone's life and I don't. So in this discussion, so it's called this Gemara Sanhedrin, Minayim Oros Chaveiro Shu Toveya Benaro Chaya Garasa or Listen Boim Olof Shu Chayv Ratziro. How do I know if someone's drowning, I have to jump in and save them? How do I know if someone is being attacked by an animal, by a coyote or something, that I have to chase it away if I can? Tamul Ramul Samul Dam Reyecha. So it discusses this, and then he says two lines from the bottom. But Yerushalmi Meisik Afilu Hachnis Asmo B'Safek Sakana Chayev. Let's say you're being attacked by an animal, a bear. So if I run over and try to beat off the bear, there are a few potential outcomes.
Yes.
Right? One potential outcome is the bear will run away. That is the best case scenario.
That would be lovely.
Right? And I will be on the front page of the newspapers the next day. Second possibility, I will also be on the front page of the newspapers. And when the bear leaves, he will be full. So, in the event that I don't run over to help my friend who's lying there unconscious, there's only one potential outcome. Am I obligated, allowed, or not allowed to take on the bear?
Sure, not obligated, and probably not allowed.
So you would say, okay. Now we have a case of somebody who's drowning, and I can jump in, and they could pull me down.
Yeah, drowning people are very dangerous.
Right.
So the person saving them is what I want to say.
As well, yes.
Yes.
So again, can I, must I, can't I jump in to save the drowning person.
You're not obligated. But if
let's say you're an Olympic swimmer or a world-renowned lifeguard, and you've saved thousands of people.
Okay, so there's no risk to me then.
You can go in and
well,
let's say I'm not. You know, I passed intermediate in camp. That's as far as I ever got.
Well, you know? Drowning, that's probably good enough.
What? For him, yes. The question's for me. Every year in camp, they put me in the pajama relay because they knew I wasn't much of a swimmer. It's the way it was. And I was the guy who had to pick the rocks off the bottom of the kiddie pool.
You feel like you can do it if you have the ability.
Okay, what if I'm not sure? Well, what if I understand? You know, listen, there's let's say there's a 5% risk that I'll be killed doing this. Okay, 5%, that's not insignificant.
I guess it depends on what you like the person.
What? want to throw out a name? So.
If it's your dog, you jump in for sure.
That's right. So the Yerushalmi shocks us all here by saying, "Yerushalmi says, 'Afilu lahachz asam b'sofik sakana chayev, obligated.'"
Obligated to chase the bear.
So again. Suffix sakana is this potential. Now the bear might be vadai sakana. That might be a higher level, right? Because at the end of the day, you're not going to save the guy if you go after the bear, right? That seems to be the odds are. But the case of the drowning, right? So there, let's say there's a 20% chance that they pull me down. You know? So the Yerushalmi sounds like you have to do it. Okay, I tried.
Okay, so, but like 20% chance I'll die, and like 20% chance I'll make it, but he won't.
And
so
60% I'll just be wet.
Right, like, you know,
good
like...
chance of that.
So, it's interesting because compare this Yerushalmi to the comment of Lord Jacobowitz. It's the exact opposite.
What's the thing about...
Right, Lord Jacobowitz, if you read him closely... It indicates that if I could potentially save you, but there is risk to me and there's no gain to me.
No.
You're not allowed.
What does that mean? There's no
you're
gain.
Not allowed.
To me? By me saving him, there's a gain. I become a better person, or I've done a righteous act by saving him.
That's beautiful.
That's
very
beautiful. I've helped another person. Why don't I have gain?
Yeah, but what happens if but, you might have.
I still gained as a person.
That's nice. That's really, really nice.
That's why we like Shlomo.
That's why Patty likes Shlomo. But at the end of the day, you know.
So I go to the hospital. I work as a doctor. I have no connection to this person. I go see him. It doesn't. I've gained as a person by the fact.
Okay.
That
now, right now you want. So once you get that, why don't you head out now to Afghanistan and help some of those people?
I'm not as good as a person.
Let's live with how good I can be. You know? It might go to my head. Right, so on the one hand, you have Lord Jacobowitz who's saying that possibly hazardous experiments may only be performed
if there's
benefit for you. I mean, if there's no benefit, they may not be performed. You're not allowed to do this, even if you could potentially help somebody. As opposed to the Yerushalmi, according to the Kesef Mishnah, which says, are you allowed to? You have to. The majority of the opinions find themselves in the middle. Based on the famous Radvaz, we've discussed this Radvaz before. The Radvaz is, what if this is a hypothetical case, it never happened. What if I get called in by a government official and said, we're about to kill this Jew, but we'll let him go if you let us chop off your finger. So Shlomo, you know how good you'll feel without that finger. you'll be the best person ever. So the
Radvaz. Play the piano again.
So the Radvaz says in that case that you are clearly not obligated to save the person's life. However,
you're allowed
to.
What are the chances that they're going to chop off your finger and then chop off the guy's head?
17%. 17.4%, if I'm more exact. Well, how about this one? You know, how about they shoot a bullet and you could stick your hand in and deflect it? What? But you know, it'll hurt my finger in a significant way. You feel better about that now? Okay? Good. His answer was, I'm not obligated, but I can. But Moshe finds he has an interesting tshuva, actually, on the topic. This goes to 1968, where he writes the letter to Rabbi Yitzhak Yaakov's wife, Hagon based in Manchester, Shlita. Who was Yitzhak Yaakov Weiss? Anybody?
Before he became the Rav of the Eda Charein.
Correct. He wrote the Svarim known as?
Minchas
Yitzhak. Right, so Minchas Yitzhak, he's the guy who keeps on showing up in Chalashudis. That's a different guy. But Dover, Hashem, Hashtoras HaLev L'Cholav Me'ish Acher She'Hitchilu Rofim Achadim Rasozeh. It just started heart transplants. This is a long tshuva. In towards the end of it, right? This happens to be the last tshuva in Chayot Gezer Adaya. He said, "Lefia Tam Shekosafti Drav Drosam Od Adam Reyecha Hu Din Kol Avim Ein Lechayv Adam Likonis B'Sofik Sakana La'Tzoras Chaver Mivadei Sakana." So Moshe approaches as follows. He says, "There is a mitzvah of Drosam Od Adam Reyecha. I cannot stand by idly while someone is killed. Right? That is a positive commandment." Right? It's also a positive commandment to make Kiddush on Shabbos. Okay?
Losamot sounds like a lot, no? Losamot.
What?
Not a positive
commandment. Okay. Let's say it's no worse than violating Shabbos.
Right.
Okay? Do I have to, if there's a 5% chance or even a 0.5% chance that if I don't violate Shabbos, I could be killed? If I violate Shabbos?
Yeah.
My life is more important than that. So if there's a 0.5% chance that I will, in fact, be hurt, killed in an attempt to save you, well, Samuel Adam Reyecha is no more than Shabbos. So just like I don't have to give up my life for Shabbos, or even have a risk, even a minor risk, I'm not going to have a minor risk to save your life either. But then he says, wait a second. Let's say I say, you know what? I really like Shabbos. It'll make me a better person. Therefore, I'm willing to risk my life for Shabbos. What do we say about that guy? What? Right, so he's Sir Moshe says, what, shouldn't we say that here as well? Just like I can't volunteer to give up my life for Shabbos, why should I be able to give up my life potentially? Again, not odds are I won't, but there is a long shot possibility for the sake of Osamud al-Bdam Yecha. So the bottom line is an interesting one. He said, "L'hatzel nefesh chaveru af shegamkin hu rak be'isur lav." Same as only a lo sasei. Yemutu l'hachn zasma b'sofek. I think you're still allowed to. Why? Me'acht alkoponim yutzel nefesh me'Yisrael. Because at the end of the day, you could save someone's life. So the bottom line is, yeah, all the svaras are nice. Academically, you can analyze why the guy doesn't have to do it, right? But at the end of the day, someone's life's on the line. If you want to do it, you're allowed to. Right, so again, this is part of a larger child. This isn't necessarily, it's not like, well, I'll give you my heart and we'll see how well it works out. That's not the case we're discussing here. So far, so good. Lost a little weight, you know? No, that is not the case. What? So in fact, that is the general approach is, well, if there's any risk in an experimental procedure where I am not the patient, right, the general assumption is this middle opinion that no one is anyone obligated to do it, but on the other hand, a person has a right to do it, assuming the reward, the potential reward, makes sense given the risk. And you have to figure it out. Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach on the topic is quoted and says, "Bikol Omer Mistav Shem Mutter Odom Lesnadi Lemechker Im Yeshvo Rak Nezek Katan." You can do it when there's a little risk. You could go into Hatramas done, like giving blood. That's for sure. I was saying she also always navi resun mecher bo kiim esher sphere shall nezak lo katan. If there's not a small chance though, then it's awesome. Kol shekein yesh seeker
b'dam. A small chance of helping hurt.
Of being hurt. If there's not a small chance of me being damaged significantly in this, then I don't have a right to.
You mean if there's a big chance?
Right, not small and big.
Which is more than small.
Right.
Right. 50-50 might not be big, but it's not small. And therefore, a doctor would not be allowed to try this type of study. But of course, if I'm the potential patient, that's a different story. So again, this is a little tricky because not small, it's hard to quantify. Right? Then again, the risk is hard to quantify also. So, you know, it really comes down to a case by case. Assuming that there is risk, but it's somewhat minimal, you also have to consider the bigger picture. Well, what is the potential upside potential? And based on that, you can determine whether this is something that perhaps should be obligated, according to some opinions, should be maybe encouraged, should be discouraged, or should be usher. Right? Depending on the factors, you have to work that out. So, it's a good question.
He says you're saving the life of the Jew.
Right. That's a hard one. I don't know.
What's the question?
What if I could potentially save a non-Jew's life? Do the same rules apply? Potentially. That's the best I'll give you. I just throw it in. We've gone over time, but I'll just throw it in here and maybe we'll discuss it next time. Maybe we won't. What about using children? Does parental consent work? So Dr. Clayman, his own person, was indicating a strong preference here.
No, children shouldn't be used.
Well, let's say it's a childhood disease.
That's the benefit.
Well.
Child can't give consent.
Child cannot give consent. Does halacha require consent? Did we ever say that?
Yes, I think we did say that at the beginning.
I know. I thought we said that the Nuremberg Code.
The rules.
That was the first.
Right. What do you call a child? Jewish child, as in below 12, 13? Or?
I think even non-Jewish children potentially are below the age of 12 or 13.
I mean, based on halacha, when an adult 12, 13, or based on the law?
Right. 21. So again, I probably would go with the 12, 13, because what other number would I pick? Drinking age? Driver's permit?
I think
parents
can give consent.
Right? Chayv Kares, 20? So again, the Nishmas Avram here has rules largely based on Shlomo Zalman. He says if it doesn't bother the kid at all, again, this is a study. One of you kids we did a study with. I don't remember who it was. It was Etty. Right? I think Chaya was still in Colombia at the time, and they had this study where they just watched the kids react, where they kept on showing pictures of people saying hello to each other, and sometimes they were holding a camel, and sometimes they weren't. Right, so as far as we could tell, I mean, we'll have to do follow-ups, but I haven't noticed any major changes. He says, so if it's really...
There's a version of camels, though,
no. Right, again, that's a study, though.
Well, Lorenzo's oil. I mean, we know of cases where it's...
So again, Ein Issa Livdok HaFriyash Yosef Kagon Shatan Otzal. Let's say you just want to check their urine samples. Right, so there's no real risk to the child in that case.
But that's not really using the child, exactly.
Well, you know, when you look at it. Right? V'chein im tzrichim al-kachas v'menu dam. If you're taking blood anyhow, you can take a few extra drops for science, you think. If yish tzar lekotan hachola b'etzem bitu ha-mechkar, what if the kid is sick, but there's also pain? Im ha-mechkar hu le-tovaso, it's for him, kein hu ha-shu ba-asu yanami ha-tovaso, nira shemutu l-asu zels, kol zman she-tzar okev katan. Again, if there's minimal pain, right, then, in fact, if it's for the kid's own good, sorry, I understand you don't like getting shots. You have to.
If it's for the kid's own good.
Right, so he said, but even if this is also part of a study, again, if you're dealing with experimental medicine, right, then you can make a decision. Because this is what's best. Ach, if a mecha yigur lo keev, o tsar, v'hu ba'atzmo yen, v'tao tsosav, o rach lo macherim, But if it's going to be pain to him, and it's only going to help other patients, and if it's all gufo, you can't do it. What if there's a little danger, not just pain? Again, same idea. If the risk is outweighed by the potential upside, you have a right to do it. Right? If not, if it doesn't, you can't. And parental consent does not make a difference. If you determine that the risk is too great, and the parents say, we're willing to risk it, you don't have a right. Obviously, if he's dead, the kid's going to die. You know, he's do whatever you have to do. So again, no real surprises there. All right, so there you have it, and.